You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, just plain right. Well, welcome to, what day is this? I'm not doing that. I didn't know for half a second there. Boomer's giving me the look like, we know what day this is. Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Nice. That almost sounded so canned the way I did. What day is this? I didn't know.
I was lost
there for a second.
Until I gave you the look.
And then with your finger on the button, by the way, you're like waiting. How you doing?
Good. Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It is hump day.
It's hump day.
Congratulations. You have made it halfway through the week. You are halfway to the weekend already here on this scorching hot day in North Alabama. We're glad to have you with us. Got a great show laid on for you. 2:30 today, which is we're a little bit off of our usual times to have somebody call in, but we take what we can get when we know for a fact that the congressman is up there in session. But Congressman Robert Adderholt, the dean of Alabama's delegation, will be calling in at 2:30 to discuss his thoughts on redistricting, where it's headed, how he feels about the new district lines, and what he thinks is going to happen when we go to court. So that's at 2:30, Congressman Robert Adderholt. And then at 4 o'clock, you know what the day is. It's Wednesday, now that I realize what day it is. It's Wednesday. That means 4 o'clock. It's Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. They'll be calling in. And all that's going on along with an amazing Triple Dipper. So hit it, buddy.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So number one, right out the gate, district line woes. So it's been a few interesting developments here in the last 24 hours in regards to the drawing of the new district lines. Who's going to be your congressman? How do the congressmen themselves feel about it? At the same time, what's happening with the people who've been protesting? And strange things are happening going towards the court. We'll talk about it. District line woes, that's number one of the Triple Dipper. Number two, man, I told Boom right before the show, I was sitting there this morning early trying to get the show ready, thinking through the different things, pull a dipper together this, pull a dipper together for that, really struggling for a third one. And I kept noticing, well, there's a situation where someone made a stupid decision in government, but it's just one decision. Oh, there's another one over there. And then I thought, well, you know what that means is I got a series of stupid governmental decisions. What cacistocracy? So that's where we are. We're going back to cacistocracy, number two on the Triple Dipper. If you're not familiar, if you're new to Right Side Radio, cacistocracy is a real word that means a government run by the least competent of its citizens. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, we didn't get to it yesterday, so I held it in reserve. It's back again today. The DEI dumbdown. It's amazing what's happening at our universities with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'm calling it the DEI dumbdown, and we'll take a look at that as number three on the Triple Dipper. That's a lot of stuff. But let me jump over to my comments, my opening monologue with the Right Side Way. And by the way, just a reminder, our new friends on the show, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across North Alabama, Anniston, Atala, Gadsden, multiple, like five locations in the Birmingham area, with more to come, I understand. Anyway, Southern Immediate Care is a sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. All right, so here's the deal. One of my favorite actors has always been Jimmy Stewart, just a class act. And he was a classic actor himself, and they don't make them like him very often. I mean, he could play any character, sort of like an any man kind of guy. And in real life, he was the same, a genuine guy. He was a veteran of World War II. He left Hollywood to go fly, and he flew B-24 Liberators, and he actually became a unit commander in the Air Force Reserves after the war. He stayed in. Despite his Hollywood career, he rose to the rank of general. He's actually one of the few men who flew a combat mission in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He made some great movies along the way, but there's just one that seems like really odd, and maybe you've seen it. The movie was called Harvey. It came out in 1950. So Stewart played the lead character, a nice but eccentric kind of guy who told everybody and walked around town pretending that his best friend was a 6'3" white rabbit named Harvey. He and Harvey went everywhere together. They often stopped for drinks at local bars. It caused quite a stir, as you might imagine. But all the more so because Jimmy Stewart's character was the only one who could see Harvey. So a large part of the movie dealt with the response of others, to include his extended family trying to have him committed. It was a bizarre movie. It was adapted to the screen, actually, after a 5-year successful run on Broadway. Jimmy Stewart himself was nominated for an Academy Award and a Golden Globe because of this movie. His co-star, actress Josephine Hull, who was in her early 70s at the time, she actually won an Academy Award and the Golden Globe. The movie was a hit. The story was still strange, though. A grown man imagining a 6-foot-tall white rabbit. And every time something happened that he would be blamed for, Stewart's character kept telling everyone it was just Harvey. Now, I won't spoil the ending in case you want to watch it. But suffice to say, blaming an imaginary rabbit caused Stewart's main character no end of problems. But it was just a movie. And in the end of that story, Jimmy Stewart's character actually didn't come across quite as crazy after all. But then again, it was Hollywood. Because in Hollywood, much like childhood, you can have imaginary characters that don't match reality. But where we have real problems is when real people in real life decide that we all need to live in their imaginations. So a friend of mine brought a story to my attention yesterday. It seems that UAB Medical Center, right here in Alabama, just announced that the very first ever uterus transplant had resulted in a successful live birth. Wow. Now I'm happy for the parents. Nothing in the press release gave me any reason to be concerned. But other news sources, I began checking, other news sources are already talking about the possibilities of transgenders being allowed to participate in these uterine transplant programs. So now they're not just removing parts or adding some outside parts. They're working to restructure the internal parts to build something that wasn't and pretend that it is. This is like as if Dr. Frankenstein is building his cobbled together monster, except that this is not in a movie. What we're seeing right now is the white rabbit gone mad. The imaginary take on life that's going on around us requires a total suspension of disbelief. You must not only accept that the white rabbit exists, you must be readily able to claim that you see it. Take, for instance, the fact that the University of Texas at Austin plans to host a series of workshops. These workshops are designed to, in their words, you ready, quote, use an intersectional approach to foster and develop allyship practices that center affirming people of color as necessary for affirming women and LGBTQIA+ people. Okay, I'll be honest, I had to read that word salad a couple of times to try and glean what they were claiming its meaning to be. Basically, that particular workshop says that LGBTQIA+ acronym, is a minority class, and that those who fight for racial equality for black citizens need to also ally themselves with the gay transgender movement. Huh. All in this together, are we? Fighting for fake men is now on par with fighting for real men of color. Well, that same center at UT Austin is also hosting workshops that focus on heterosexual and monosexual privilege. Okay, so the basic premise there is that if you believe in traditional relationships between a man and a woman, or if at the very least you believe that you are attracted to the members of one gender, then you have a societal privilege that somehow harms the other members of the acronym community. Did you catch that? Basically, if you're straight, or at the very least just good old-fashioned gay, then you're a problem. So I got to ask, does that mean they're going to cut the L and the G out of the LGBTQ? The workshops go on, though, to teach you all sorts of new and special made-for-victimhood verbiage, like transmisogyny, which is defined as the intersection of transphobia and misogyny that systematically targets trans women. Dudes. Or misogynoir, which is allegedly the intersection of racism, anti-blackness, and misogyny that black women experience. Or just simple sexism, which has now been reimagined as the systematic, institutional, pervasive, and routine mistreatment of women and femme people of all genders. Femme people. F-E-M-M-E. What is femme people? So for the third time, I had to go look something up. Femme people are allegedly those who are gender nonconforming and who do not identify as lesbian, transgender, or non-binary. What's left? So they're just translucent now? I mean, keep in mind that UT Austin is a public university, so these are your tax dollars at work. It keeps on going, though. The acronym never stops expanding. One website I reviewed before coming in today lists over 107 different genders. Let me tell you, that's a whole lot of imaginary white rabbits. Jimmy Stewart's imaginary white rabbit friend Harvey was harmless, even entertaining. It made his character seem innocent and almost childlike. When we were kids, we probably fought imaginary bad guys, played with imaginary friends, but like Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All right, but in the world in which we live right now, we're being bombarded by people who want us to believe that their white rabbits are real simply because they say so. They live in a world of imagination, and it's both maddening and very sad all at the same time. You see, adults are supposed to grow out of their immaturity and naivety and irrationality. Pretending that something is other than what it is does not make it so. But unlike the innocence of Jimmy Stewart in the movie Harvey, the LGBTQIA+ acronym movement is anything but innocent. There's a vitriolic streak in the middle of it. You will believe what I believe or I will make you pay. You will help me to become what my imagination says or I will lash out at you. You will help me to cobble together my grievances to make someone pay for my alleged victimhood. Or you will use the world's finest medical systems to build me a false appearance so I can be sort of like what I see in my mind. And just like that, children are mutilated for life, and men participate in women's sports and women's beauty contests. Tax dollars pay for workshops that define traditional and very real heterosexual relationships as the archetype of oppression, lording their privilege over the lives of the ever-expanding list of gender identities that no one even knew were a thing 5 minutes ago. I got to tell you, this is not healthy. This chasing after white rabbits, it's not real, and it is not healthy. Mature societies do not do this. We cannot simply say that what is not real is real and expect that society is going to get on board and celebrate. This is not healthy. It is strikingly faddish. And we need to bring this ugly fake world to a close and bring some healing and restoration to those whose lives have now become enslaved by the belief that their white rabbits are real. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, it's true. I mean, I look at this and think, okay, the movie, yeah, it was entertaining. It was cute. It was kind of funny. You know, the idea that we're looking at a big 6-foot white rabbit, only he could see it. That's funny. It's not funny in real life when someone says, there's 107 genders, and you just have to get on board. Or we're going to mutilate that child and make him something he's not, and it's going to be okay. Or we're going to transplant a uterus into a man's body. Wow, that'll be cool. Not really. These white rabbits, they're dangerous for society, in my opinion. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a few text messages already. The text lines are indeed open. You want to text in, it's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me grab a few of those, and then I've got two breaking news stories that I'm going to touch on real quick before we go to the top or the bottom of the hour break. By the way, coming up at 2:30, when we get back from the break, Congressman Robert Adderholt will be calling into the show, and we'll chat with him about the new district lines, which, by the way, he's my congressman. I have been in Adderholt's district now for, I mean, long as I can remember. But the reality is I am now slated to be in District 3. I just want to hear his thoughts. I mean, when you're used to working with people, working for people, being at all their events, you know people personally in all the communities, and suddenly it changes, it's a little weird. Text lines. Let's see what I got here. Brian from Huntsville. He says, man, oh man, the Hassenpfeffer. I could make it with a 6-foot rabbit. That was a Bugs Bunny. Cook, Cook, where's my Hossenpfeffer? I don't know why I remember that, but I do. John from Huntsville. Phil, awesome monologue. After seeing breaking news on Hunter Biden this morning, I think you should do a mini-dipper titled Plea Deal or No Plea Deal. John. I'm going to talk about it here in just a minute, as a matter of fact. If I can get through these, let's see here. Jeff from Green Hill, Alabama. I remember when the push for gay rights started. Now look where we are. There's no end to it. I know. The acronym keeps growing, Jeff. There's a new initial. Pretty soon they're going to use up the whole alphabet and have to start doing, like, extra letters. And I don't know what they're going to do then. Do it in Morse code. I don't know. Leanne from Huntsville. In light of Hunter's court debacle today, Biden should definitely drop out of the race. I also think Trump should drop. We can just pit Newsom against whoever does best in the Republican primary. Oh, and get rid of Ronald McDaniel while we're at it. Leanne's got opinions. JT from Lacey Springs. White rabbits. Says, sadly, there is one in the White House and everyone can see him. Oh, wow. So, yeah, two breaking news stories. You heard some things alluded to right there in those text messages. So, one breaking news story is that Hunter Biden had that sweetheart plea deal where he was going to plead down to misdemeanors and sort of get a waiver on the issue of whether he filled out his the misdemeanors were going to be on tax evasion, and the complete, you know, pass was going to be on lying on his forms to purchase a firearm. Well, it fell apart today. So he was prepared, apparently, to go into court and plead guilty, knowing that he had a plea deal that was going to be no jail time, hardly anything on his record but misdemeanors, and move along. It was a slap on the wrist. Something happened. So he went to court today. The plea deal fell apart. The judge said that there was too much there with regards to the fact that the prosecutor said that Hunter is still under investigation but declined to say for what. And the judge said she was not going to accept a plea deal, leaving Hunter Biden with no option but to plead not guilty. Getting no plea deal, he now faces either A, new negotiations, or B, he's going to go to trial. And he's going to go to trial on potential felony charges. So there's that. The other thing that just happened, it's up on the screen right now again. Mitch McConnell appears to have had some type of a health event. And it happened while he was on camera. He literally went to the podium, like you often see out in the hallway near the Senate chamber. And he was surrounded by other senators. Press was there in a gaggle. And he started talking. And then all of a sudden, he just locked up. And I mean, like, went catatonic. Stood there, but couldn't talk, couldn't blink. Just stood there gripping the podium. And it went on for a good 30 seconds. You can see the other senators finally realizing something was happening. He's 81 years old, by the way. There's no history of epilepsy that I've heard, but an aide is now saying he felt lightheaded and had to step away. That wasn't lightheaded. If it was lightheaded, he should have said, would you excuse me for a second? It was as if he didn't know where he was for a minute. And there are some that are concerned that perhaps it was a version of a seizure. You know, not all seizures are tremors and body shaking. Some are just pure blankouts. And then... Or did he have some type of a mini stroke? I don't know. Pure speculation. All I'm saying is Mitch McConnell, 81 years old. You have to look at it and go, maybe it's time to move on, bud. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're coming right back to a conversation with Congressman Robert Atterholt. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.